Hey there, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to the Handmaid's Tale After Show. We're talking about episode 6, First Blood. We have the babies fine, which means Serena's kind of being nice. Mrs. Blaine in really awkward sexy time. Suicide bomber? Oh my goodness. Also, we're going to talk about some news, how the creator talked a little bit on that suicide bomber character and about that, as well as actual birth rates dropping. And Resist sister, Harvey Weinstein, went away in cuffs. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's like such an interesting little rock song. When this played at the end, I was like, okay. Welcome to the Handmaid's Tale After Show. We're talking episode 6, First Blood, season 2. I was about to be like season 3. I'm like, no. Not that far yet.
We have to get through this season.
But man, this episode, oh my goodness. My name is Carrie Lane, and I'm joined by my awesome co-host.
Hey everyone, I'm Leslie Powers, and this was a doozy.
Oh, it was a good one, though.
Oh, so good. Best episode yet, I think.
Very satisfying.
Yes.
A lot of things that were like,
oh, get it!
You're like, finally, things we've been wanting to happen forever. Yes. So let's dive right in. So right away, we find out the baby is fine. Mm-hmm. It's just a hemorrhage. No big deal. I'm going to try to pronounce it right based on my notes. Subchorionic hematoma.
Oh, look at you.
There we go. So, big deal, relatively common. And yeah, I was sitting there. I watched it with my friend, and we were like, let's look that up.
How common is that?
3% of births, which sounds like a really small number, but enough that they document it.
Got it.
But Serena's kind of being all dominant at the doctors, too.
Well, I just thought it was such a cool shot when you had the divider right in between. It was you can't see your baby. It's not your baby.
It's so creepy. Yeah. All about that is just creepy.
Ugh, so weird.
But the doctor actually does kind of talk to June, which was nice. Though, he's like, your previous pregnancy.
Yes.
She tries to use the name. He's like, no.
Ma'am?
Yeah. Super clinical. You're like, no. But touche with that doctor. How much did you love this line? This baby needs harmony within the household.
That's the second time we've heard that. Because Lydia was saying that too. Mm-hmm. And it's like everybody's thinking, how in the hell is there supposed to be harmony in this household? It's never happening.
It's literally so funny. You're like, Serena, are you hearing that one?
Yes. She's like, more soup then. That's what you need to harmonize.
No. But do you think this was an act of kindness where Serena goes and asks June and lets her, do you want to see the baby?
I mean, yes. I still think she's so hesitant with June because June's smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's like, gives her an inch, she takes a mile kind of a thing. But yeah, I thought it was nice. But I think it's also torturing June a little bit more to be like, oh, see the baby that you have to give up in like less than, 6 months. So it's kind of a battle for me, like kindness versus just like a little bit of torture and power play.
Oh, so. Power play, 100% for sure. And torture in her weird, like, sadistic way.
Yeah.
Something that's interesting that I was thinking about is Lydia kind of goes, well, we won't know the sex of the baby till it's born. But this is an ultrasound, which should tell you the sex of the baby.
Yes. Okay. At a certain amount of weeks. I think it's like 21 weeks or something.
Maybe the aunts go the you're not getting ultrasounds route. Because remember, Serena's like, well, our doctor can do this.
Well, yeah, she's all like measuring the belly. Like, that's going to like tell her.
Oh, yeah.
It's 25 inches.
Which, that is kind of done. I looked that up, too, and it's...
Is that, like, an old-timey thing to do?
I think it's a more before you had technology to help you do it.
Before you had another sound, it's like, boy, girl, boy,
yeah.
Girl. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Well, it was more just to gauge the healthiness of how the baby's growing, not necessarily...
Gotcha.
Not the sex.
The papaya that we talked about.
The size, yes.
Yes.
And speaking of the soup, essentially, do you want a smoothie? And she's all, no. Thank you, June.
Yes, she's
thank you.
It makes my stomach hurt.
It's a good way to play it of like, it doesn't make me feel good. Then she can't really argue with that.
She's going to use that baby.
She should.
Yes.
Rita even is like, milk that while you can.
Yeah. She's like, seriously, go how many months left until we don't even know.
Yeah. But Serena's like, well, you can use my sitting room in your condition. I did air quotes for those listening because she doesn't.
Yes.
She means to be kind, I think, but not really. But it's just so, like, condescending and patronizing and
and
rude.
She, like, sits behind her knitting, so it's, like, not...
Oh, that was so great.
She's not even alone. She can never really be fully alone.
Oh,
It was weird.
Then there's a moment which, how many people were screaming at their TV when Nick is talking to her? And I'm like, volume. Yeah, you guys are talking at normal volume.
Anybody can walk in at any minute. That happens in TV shows so often to where I'm like, how big is this house? Because there's no way that, you know, and Rita walked in and they were holding hands.
Yep.
I was like, bring it up, bring it up, bring it up.
It's so
you're not being aggravating. Very secretive, guys. I mean, you're just not.
Well, my friend brought the point, too, when we were watching together that they shouldn't essentially be in the room alone together because that could look bad. And then I was like, well, if they already know that they have a thing or something, but he's talking at a, not yelling, but I'm like, guys, whispers.
And he's saying, like, I love you. And it's nothing that could be, like, cryptic or, like,
and this house is silent. It's not like there's music playing or people talking.
I mean, they're not, like, watching TV all the time. I don't even think they have a TV, actually, now that I think about it. What a weird house.
So, yeah, if you guys leave comments. Was that crazy for Nick to be talking that loud? I was like, volume, sir, please. But then we get the creepy thing about her. June's like, so how's Mrs. Blaine and what's her bedtime?
Oh, yeah, that was just a little snarky, June, but we love it.
But they're both kind of have that weird moment where they're thinking about the three of us as a family. You're like,
and then I was thinking about it. I was like dreaming for them. I was like, go to Canada and have your beautiful family, but then run into your other husband.
Well, maybe they can do polygamy. So be like, it's fine. We'll live in this world together.
Yeah. She hasn't thought that far of how to explain the new man to the old man.
Yes. We get Waterford and they're doing this construction. He talks with Aunt Lydia about it. It's a new processing place.
Makes what is it called? It's like the Lauren...
It's a Rachel and Leah Center, so very biblical of, you know, I can't have a baby, so you have a baby before me. And the God said, that's okay.
Oh, it's so creepy. He's like, look at this magnificent building where we, like, make these women do things they don't want to do.
Yeah, you know, that's fine.
But Lydia's all like, you know, praise be, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Then they have the... I'm like, yes, there it is. It was funny though how Lydia and Waterford are talking about it's a challenging and willful pair,
and he says that's why I stay out of it.
He's like, no, I'm not
typical man.
But no, he says I'll handle things. Oh no, Lydia says will you handle things? What do you think she means?
I think she means if they go after each other and kill each other, exactly. I mean, that'd be so tough. It's like, I think the barren woman or the woman that has your baby.
I'm thinking Lydia is like, save the handmaid. Who cares about your wife?
Yes. But also, I feel like she hates the handmaids. I don't know.
A little bit.
Has a weird, like, love-hate thing for them.
It's very awkward and complicated.
I can't figure Lydia out yet. I want some backstory on her. I'm curious.
I'm waiting for my Lydia backstory.
Yes. Creators, do you hear that?
Some people are like, no, I don't want to know anything about her. Like, we don't need to know more about these people. But I'm like, no, I'm curious. Yes. Like, you don't need to make me sympathize with her. But I just want to know, how did she get to this place?
Because you can tell she obviously really sternly believes in what she's doing.
Yes.
Like very deeply. She's like, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah. We do have a live chat. So if you're watching this live, feel free to join us in the chat. I know we switched times. It's because the holiday.
Sorry,
but if you're watching it later, no problem. Please comment down below your thoughts on all the stuff we bring up and in case there's something we didn't get to.
And you guys were so helpful last week because we had lots of questions. So thank you.
Good chiming in.
Yes.
Andrew kind of pushes out our Andrew character, which we'll get to if he's alive or not. It's like, well, is this place going to be ready in time?
Yeah, he has a hard ass. He's like,
it's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, he's like, well, it looks great, but is it going to be ready? I don't know. I just feel like he just does not like Fred.
Nope.
He does not trust him as far as he can throw him. I do too.
I'm like, please, drive somebody, him nuts.
Somebody. He's such a weasel.
Yeah.
Fred is.
So we get the super duper first awkward scene of this episode with Nick and Mrs. Blaine, who never really gets a first name. We do find out later. Yeah, but... In general conversation,
they're never going to call her that, though.
No.
She's a wedded woman now.
Yeah. You're my family now.
With that awkward, it was like...
Yeah, trying to touch his hand.
And he's like, if you need any help, I'll be smoking my cigarette.
Yeah, he's like... she's like, you can smoke inside. It's your home. And he's like, no.
No, I need a break. Yeah. I need a break.
They're trying for small talk. Oh, my gosh. And... I mean, I don't know for how many of you gentlemen out there, but ladies, oh my gosh, when she's like, I know how to cook and keep house. I know all about marriage. And anybody out there who's married is probably like,
yeah, you're 15.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess you don't.
And I know about everything. Oh, I was just, I feel so bad for her.
I just would love to know what her mother's talks with her were like before she got shipped off into the situation.
Clearly brainwashed. Yes. That's what
Cook
it
for
is.
Them, clean for them, and then, yeah. Yeah. And then whatever happens next.
And make babies. Well, that's number one, because God wants you to make babies. Yes.
That is like, her duty.
So much of it is just like, it's so painful.
Yes. I just, Setting us back so many years.
I think I rolled my eyes so many times. I was just like, ugh. You know, just like... Actually, I have some moments later where I actually wrote ugh in my notes. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, so then we have Serena in June, and then, yeah, oh, you kind of talked about, like, oh, yeah, get comfortable, and she's, like, hovering. No way.
Yeah, I think I can take care of myself.
Yeah. And then when we get Serena's backstory, it is a little bit more interesting when she's asking, well, like, what is it like to have that life inside of you? But then June is kind of like, do you want to feel it? Instead of creepy feeling me up in the middle of the night?
Yeah, like, just don't snuggle with me in bed.
Yeah. That's so weird. So wrong. Then we finally get another flashback, which was actually really interesting and super creepy. Because the things with the flashbacks is they're essentially now, which is, makes it so much more creepy. Mm-hmm. So it's this college campus, and they are like, yeah, we're going to have our policies and values discussed and how they compare her to a Nazi and a fascist.
Oh, yeah.
This sounds like some current events going on and certain people in current events. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was rough. They were hating a lot on her.
Which the problem, though, is if you just do that, they're going to keep talking. And essentially, she becomes a martyr.
Yes.
So she's alive. Most martyrs, I think. I'm like, generally, if you're a martyr, you're dead, right?
No, not necessarily. No,
okay, not necessarily. I think I've always thought of it like, you've died for your cause. But the problem is, like, you should just let her talk and then... counter.
Yes.
You know, but...
But, yeah, they did not want to hear what she had to say, and... But Fred, I think, pushed it really
hard. Oh, he pushed it too hard.
Yes. And then he was like, you need to be heard. This is America.
So is this ironic that in trying to push feminine values and the duty of the woman to have a baby, it gets her shot such that she can never have a baby?
I know. Ha! Irony!
That's irony for you.
Yes. Which but most... I feel like it was a smart move to have her speak, though, because if it would have been a man speaking about women's rights, then it would have been even worse.
Yeah. She's speaking out, then later, it's the our biological destiny.
Yeah, and she says something like it dropped 61%. The birth rate had dropped 61% in 12 months.
So if you can't make babies, then it's not your biological destiny or duty.
Yeah. But we can enslave people to do it for us. That's...
No problem, because that's what we
not?
Do.
Why not?
Then we got, oh, man, then this was another kind of new awkward. We have June in the commander, who we haven't seen alone in a while. Because she's getting some water in the middle of the night. And her, are you mad at me?
I read an article, and it was like, that's what you ask, like, your boyfriend after a fight, not, like, your master. I feel like she was really childlike in that moment, which was, it was an interesting exchange. I liked it, though. That was a good scene. He's all eating bread and cheese in the middle of
the night.
It
looks good.
It did. It's really good.
Because she's like, we haven't been talking in so long since I got back, which it's like, so many layers of awkward there.
Yeah, do you want him talking to you? Like, what do you want him to say?
I think she's using him because she did try to use him before. And I think now she's not getting what she wants the way she's going about it. So June is like, maybe I should tap into this again. And his creepy feeling her up and pregnancy suits you.
So gross. He just wrote, I'm sorry, Joseph Fiennes, you're an amazing actor. He just creeps me out.
Oh, he's so good at being creepy.
He is so good at being creepy, but
But they both have a nice little, like, strange moment of, well, your wife won't like this or something. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, it's your guardian angel. Her eye rolls. Oh, my gosh.
She's been kind.
Ugh.
She's like, don't make me vomit.
I hope you all brought your barf bags. So I feel so many moments in this episode where, like, gag me and, like, gonna roll my eyes so hard.
Yes. But it makes me chuckle a little bit, too, because I think June's funny in her own way.
It's comedic. Because she just turns away and it's just eye roll. But someone who doesn't make you want to eye roll. And if you want to have fun, learn and grow in all areas of your life. And for those of you who do, we have a podcast just for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. And so it drops every Friday, so go check it out on Fridays. It's absolutely free. Let her know it was Handmaid's Tale who sent you there.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Check it out. Something positive.
Yes. So not positive. We go back to June and Mrs. Blaine, who they haven't really had any moments together.
Yes. But we learn it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We learn it later, but I am glad they confirmed her age. So she's 15. Because we're all a little bit like.
I was like, is she 12?
Oh. I was hoping not. I'm like, please don't be 12.
Cringe.
Technically, as soon as a girl gets a period, I think in this world, you're fair game. How she looked the most, I would have thought, is she's 13, max.
Yeah.
Minimum. Yeah. At the, like, lowest. But 15.
Definitely not 18, yeah. though. Definitely
no,
not.
No.
Of legal consent.
Young teenager. Yes.
I don't know with legal consent in Gilead, though.
I don't
no
think
idea.
They have legal consent.
There isn't one. That's true.
And she's like, I almost feel bad for Eden. Almost. Because she's so naive and dumb in that way, which isn't her own fault. But you're still, she's like, he hates me, and like, he left last night and thinks I'm ugly.
I feel like it was such a, this like, shallow conversation in a way, and very, like, modern conversation you have with your girlfriends, and the whole time you could just see June's just, like, lip twitching, like, how do I even approach this topic with her?
So here was my major, I wrote, ugh. One is, you know, well, we can't wait, because June has a good moment, like, of a logical he's waiting for you to be ready, and it's fine. And she's like, well, we can't wait. It's our duty to God. Ugh, is what I wrote.
Yeah. What, have you been married 2 days?
It's like, yeah, it's like, calm down. Tough. Calm down. But they kind of mention it's like God wants you to be happy together.
Yes.
Also, and it's like, well, since Nick isn't touching me, that means he must be gay, so he's a gender traitor.
How did we go there? It was so quick to go there. It was like, okay, he doesn't want to sleep with me.
Yeah.
He's immediately gay. Well, not like it feels like he's probably doing something extremely wrong.
Yeah.
By having sex with you because you're 15.
Yes. And not the fact that he might need to be turned on by you at all to get this thing started.
Oh, yeah, to get it started. Nope.
Nope. Then we get this episode has so many wonderful awkward things, but that makes it so good. We get the weird handmade luncheon. Like,
that was my favorite scene. I loved that scene.
Won't it be fun with your friends?
I thought you would want your friends to come over. It's like, sure, so we can't talk about anything we really want to talk about because you're standing right there.
It's like you having a party and your parents standing right there when you're a kid.
And serving you.
Yes. You're like, no,
I don't want
you need to leave.
I don't want
Mom,
the quiche.
Go. Yes. They actually sounded like there was some music playing, which they don't have it normally. That was the first time where, and it's been a while that I'm like, they got some music going. Okay. And she's like, you guys have a lot to catch up on.
How they're torturing us and raping us and making us have babies. That's not like, you know, hey, the weather. We got good weather today. That was like all she could really say. But I felt like there was a moment where Serena felt like she's like, I don't have any friends and I don't have this in my life.
Yeah.
And maybe she never had it before.
Yeah.
I don't know. She doesn't seem like the kind of woman that, like, gabbed with her friends all the time, but I could be wrong.
I thought that as well. I like that June starts up the conversation, but doing a normal conversation about the real world before this.
Yes.
And then that's when Serena finally gets the cue, I should leave. And I think that is because, she doesn't have friends.
She doesn't know how to talk to the other women.
I don't think she likes the other women in this world, which is one of those, hey, Serena, so this wonderful world you want to make, you happy?
Yeah.
I hope not.
Are you having a great time?
This is what you wanted.
Not having brunch with your friends? I also think she doesn't like any mention of the world before. I think that really triggers. She has a lot of triggers for sure.
Also, they were doing the baby feeling as well, which also made her leave. And her greenhouse gardening, something else to do. Which is like, what do they do all day?
I know, that's what I was wondering. I was like, okay,
they're not doing chores.
They knit.
Yeah.
Sit by the fire. Then like do some evil things to the handmaids. I don't know what they all day. Drive
around.
That's
my checklist,
I don't know.
Because they don't grocery shop, and they have no chores, because they got servants, most of them.
And they wear the same outfit every day, so...
Yes. No need to pick out your... Oh, do they do their own hair?
Probably.
They might do their own hair. She doesn't...
She has that, tight bun.
Are we getting anything in the chat?
Just Lisa Powell saying, Serena's so awkward, and I love it. Yes, I agree, Lisa. I think she's... I think she's a little robotic... But she's a very complicated and in-depth character, and one of the best characters on TV, I think.
Oh, there's a face thing, which we'll get to in a second, too, where their faces. I was like, yes. here it is. It's this moment, too. So Serena shows June the nursery, and I'm going to be the best mother I can be.
To my baby. Not to the baby. Mine.
Yeah, it's just all kinds of awkward. Yeah. And then June's like, well, can I see Hannah? Absolutely not. Their crying, staring contest and twitching.
Twitch.
Was so good, though. I was like, these actresses are amazing. Only thing I would have wanted, though, is I would have wanted a wide shot to see both of them in the same frame.
Yeah.
Because where we're single, I was like, they're not in the same room together.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate.
And in very different places mentally. But yeah, I think a wide shot would have been really cool.
Like, go back to the wide as June leaves.
Yeah.
But then, that's okay.
But yeah, the
crying, still shot otherwise, and then great, and the ladies looked amazing.
Yeah.
Because
you know she kind of wants to let her, like a little tiny, tiny, tiny bit.
Yeah.
But her humanity, I think, is almost gone at this
point. That's where June's like, I thought she could be decent.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
You were wrong, June.
Yes. And so poor Nick's like, what's wrong, sweetheart?
I know. Oh, what can I do? Yeah. Get me out of this effing place.
Yes. But then she
tried once.
You do it failed, again,
you failed, you failed.
And she's like, well, you need to sleep with your wife.
Yeah.
Stab, I know, I know. And dig it.
Ah. But that's also all these characters have to say a whole bunch of things they don't really mean in order to survive. Yes. And, you know, it's that whole shindig.
But he kind of is like, well, I can't do that. Oh, well, the best lines of the episode. What? You have to fuck someone you don't want to?
Yes.
Sorry, we drop an F-bomb there. But that's the line of the thing, and that's what it is. And it's true.
It's so sad for you. What's that like? Why don't you tell me?
Yeah, and he's like, that's not fair. And she's all, fair, tell me. Whoo!
Yeah, fair is not a word I use ever in my life in this place.
I mean, that's the Handmaid's purpose, is to have people constantly, well, people, one person. In well, it could be different people over time, be having sex with her against her will.
It's terrible.
So that was one of those, oh, tell me how rough your life is.
It's like, you're a white man. Well, he's not a white man, but you're a man.
Yeah.
Who has choices.
Then, to get more graphic in thoughts, then my friend and I were literally like, well, how difficult would that be? Because, like, girl, I just be there.
Yeah.
It's going to be uncomfortable, probably. But a guy, like...
Mm-hmm. Being forced?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, weird things we all think about when we watch these shows. I don't know if this is probably more crude. People are like, what?
Yeah.
Let us know your weird thoughts when you're watching these episodes. But I think they bring up points because he's like, well, I can't do that. And it's like, well, Nick, really?
Yeah.
If your life depends on it, which we get to that as well.
Yes.
Because then we get Nick and Eden with the super creepy sheet with the hole.
I did not expect that. I expected it to be very sterile and awkward. But then that just sliding the sheet down into the hole, I was like... And then I just heard all she did was touch his arm the whole time.
Oh, she's like grabbing his arm.
Gripping his arm. I'm like, this is the. And like the sound was basically only their breathing. I was like, music. Can we get music? I need music. This is so awkward.
Yeah, she was like kind of awkward and nervous. And I don't know what I've seen that in, but I know I've seen that sheet thing before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Something else where it's creepy, puritanical stuff where you're just like.
Yeah, it felt very Amish in a sense. Like, I wonder if that's
something
a Puritan practice or something. Yeah.
If anybody knows the actual practices where people do this, please leave comments down below. Because it's one of those, like, I don't know where I saw it, but I know I saw it either in a movie or a documentary or something. Yes. And you're just like...
I hope not in real life. That's all
no.
I hope for you.
No. But the deed is done and it's short.
And
I almost feel bad for her, too. Like, sweetie, it gets much better than that. Like, I hope that's not what you think.
She's like, I hope it worked.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's thinking, I hope it did, too, so I never have to do this again.
He's safe for 9 months at least.
Exactly.
Oh, it's like, sweetie, it doesn't work like that. It's not like, you know, right away. I was going to say, did we get more people trying?
There's people saying how uncomfortable that scene is.
So uncomfortable.
But apparently Amethyst Eyes says, but supposedly some really conservative cultures do it. Yeah, that has to be really conservative.
Yeah, that's one of those you're not having sex for pleasure. It is purely to make a baby.
And you can't see any other part of their body.
Which is unfortunate and sad. It's like, then sex wouldn't have been made feel so good if you weren't. Okay. Whole other tangents where you're just like, this show and discussions, which is great. So this was the other little bit of Serena and the commander, which led into a flashback when they're kind of talking about June. And he's kind of like, you need to ease up a little bit and stuff. We get the flashback where in the hospital, she's kind of suddenly got tougher.
Yes.
Because before she's like, oh, don't use those words. And now she's like, they're terrorists.
Well, she's like, be a man. That was the best part. I was like,
tracks down the shooter and kills his woman.
That was a rough scene. And this is the stuff I wonder if Nick has seen all this and is why Nick is like, I don't trust him and I've seen the things that
he's
done.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Then Fred goes to June's room. The awkwardness just keeps going.
Keeps going.
And then He's like, well, I need to step in and keep the peace. Mm-hmm. And gives her a Polaroid of Hannah. Question is, who took said Polaroid? Are there cameras? Can these cameras be used for other blackmail purposes?
I don't know. I thought it was probably one of the, you know, schoolmasters or somebody, wherever she is.
Because she's not posed. She's not looking up at the camera. She looks super cute in that picture.
And you know Fred probably has people everywhere and, you know, just pulled a string and said, take a picture of Hannah and give it to me. Lisa Strunk said it's Hasidic Jews that use the sheet with the hole. Okay.
Thank you.
And the Catholics, and then Stone Rose Soap says the Catholics used to have the sheet in the Dark Ages.
Oy.
Yeah. Ugh.
Get some scissors and cut that sheet up.
I know.
We're like, nope.
Maybe Eden eventually just be like, I don't need the sheet.
Yeah, she's
I love you.
I love you, Nick.
You're my family.
Well, it's awkward touching then. Fred, again, is like, I've missed you. Ugh. And he's like touching her. Great save, June. You know, I'm worried about the baby. We can't, like, and of course he has
thing to happen again.
No idea about, it's like, no, really, you guys could have sex for quite some time.
Yeah.
But good save, June.
Yes.
Good save.
Yep. No green shakes and no sex with the commander. That's what, all she wants.
Because he kind of is like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I have to really restrain myself.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Such a creep. Such a great.
So then we get Commander Price, that's our Andrew, which I'm like, oh, we're all first name basis.
Yes.
And Fred at the event. Mm-hmm. And Nick to Andrew's like, you need to reassign me and protect the handmaid. But get me out of there.
Yeah.
Like now.
I just think he can't watch it.
No.
He can't deal with it. I wonder if Eden goes with him, though.
Oh, gosh.
Because didn't Andrew say, like, but you have a wife.
You have a wife. What's the problem?
What's the problem? And so I wonder
I got a wife.
I wonder if Eden's going to go with Nick. Yeah. So I'm curious about that.
So we'll pause on what the big finale is there.
Yes.
Because we had the last other crazy, not crazy, but power play nails on chalkboard moment where it's Serena, Eden, and June.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dropping the needles.
The needles.
Go pick them up.
It was literally like.
Yeah. Boop. She's like, you are a Christian married woman now, or believer. I'm blanking on what it is, but something like that. You're a woman of faith and married.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do that. You're making the pregnant handmaid bend over and get it?
I know. And then she's like, oh, I felt a cramp. I can't do it.
I do appreciate that. She did
genius.
For Serena.
Genius.
But Serena's the more top dog. Eden is not her top
she's
dog.
Like,
she's like,
not
no.
yet.
Yeah.
Not yet,
girl.
Not when we're both sleeping with the same guy. Not doing it. Not doing it.
So, the crazy... awesome finale bit. One, Nick leaves. Nick is not present. I rewound and made sure.
Because
after he leaves Andrew, he goes a completely other direction. So, cool. So, all the handmaids are kind of outside staring. It's really creepy. The way it's shot was super interesting because at first I thought it was a double level.
I did too.
Which it is kind of.
Okay.
I thought
it was two levels.
Guys were downstairs or it's a reflection. Because later the girls run away. I watched it again. It still was just the design of the room is strange
because
it made it seem like the handmaids were up here and they were down there. But when they ran, it seemed like they were on the same level.
Yeah.
Well, I watched it again, but I'm still confused.
Fred wanted to show off his fancy new building and like have his big presentation and like reveal the handmaids watching in on them.
Yes.
So creepy.
With all the creepy men inside in their boring black suits.
Yes.
And then off Glenn, who cut her tongue out. Again, same thing what I was saying, like the colony people. The less you have to lose, the more likely you're going to be like, screw
you're the dangerous one.
Yep. What do you have to lose? May as well go out with a bang.
And she got to hang with her friends at a brunch before she did.
Yeah.
One last memory, I suppose.
So she's like, I'm going to be the suicide bomber, which was a great. I didn't expect that at all.
Oh, my. I was like the whole time.
Yes.
I think I was talking to myself, too, because my husband wasn't watching with me because he's not caught up. And I was just like, what?
Well, she walks in, looks back at the handmaids, is holding it, and shows them.
Yeah.
So then they're all like, shit,
run! But I love Fred's response. He's like, tell her it's not time yet.
And then turns around and starts running in. So she gets about halfway into the room. Because, this is a scene I watched a couple times. Like, wait. So she gets about halfway in the room.
Mm-hmm.
One, how is this organized?
I think with the resistance...
Chicks. With the resistance.
Yeah.
One, I kind of like that they don't do the cliche, like, I have bombs all over me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no, the detonator is the good one. How did she get the bomb?
I know.
How did they plan that? But that goes kind of with the organization. She gets about halfway in, and the big question, who survived?
Yes.
It's like, oh, well, ah,
yeah.
He, yeah.
I wonder, since Nick turned around and got away, did Nick have anything to do with helping plant the bomb?
That's a good question.
Because somebody had to help.
Yes.
At this construction site of this building to plant that.
Somebody has to know.
So,
well, that's a good question. I was thinking it was literally on her. So you're saying more it's in the construction of the building.
Oh, now I don't know. Now that you say that.
It's a good question.
Maybe it was just her. Yeah, maybe it was just underneath her. Because
it's a big explosion.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Like, she's a little woman, so...
Because it took out the whole room. Because when we see the white at the end, the whole room's gone.
Yes. So was it underneath the building, or was it on her, underneath all of her lovely red cloak?
We'll do some quick predictions on that.
I'm seeing if anybody's saying anything about it.
Any other chiming from the chat?
All right. Someone else, Lisa Strunk is also saying there were definitely handmaids on the second floor, but the explosion shot doesn't show them. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody else chiming in on the chat?
Amethyst Eyes says Nick had to know he got out of there so quickly. That's what I thought. Because I thought he said his piece and then he turned around and left.
Yes.
So.
So prediction wise, there we are. Ooh. Yes.
And now you're after Buzz TV.
So this is questions for us and question for you watching.
Yes.
How organized was this attack? Because it is very organized to get this done. So who organized it? How organized? And then is the bomb on her person or in the building, which means it's part of the construction?
Yes.
I think it's Mayday. Another one. Maybe there's another one, which is great. Maybe. So it's very organized in that way. I do feel the construction makes sense if they put it into the building, because that explosion, I mean, I don't know much about bombs, but I'm like, I don't know if just what's on her could make that big of a blast.
Exactly.
It makes more sense if it was all around. Oh, or both. It's on her person and in the construction. Yeah. So it's like going off. And
she was obviously the one to detonate. So
I think Andrew's dead.
Yes.
Which is going to be a problem, because he seemed like reasonable-ish person. I think Fred survived, because that'd be too easy if he's dead. But that means he's going to rise to power.
Is Serena going to rise to power, and maybe he's severely injured or in a coma of some sort?
Maybe.
I think it's definitely organized. Yep. I think that it was definitely a group of the ladies after the Janine thing happened and her tongue got cut out. I think it was like game on. And the episode is called First Blood, which a lot of people thought maybe it was the blood of the possible miscarriage. But I think it's like game on.
Yeah.
First Blood.
Like, please leave your comments. And the men know. So please leave your comments. What do you think that was all organized and like that? Thank you also for chiming in the live chat. And then if you are listening, please go over on iTunes, rate, and like, subscribe. Yes. 5 stars, because 1 through 4 don't work, you know. let us know your thoughts on the show. What do you like, and what other topics you possibly want us to cover? And we'd love to hear your thoughts, and then that lets them know here how much you all love the show, because it's an amazing show.
It is,
and it's so intense.
Good. Love it.
The way this episode ends, though, too, I'm like, where's the next one?
I know. I was like, what? I have to wait till Wednesday?
I mean, some of the other ones, you're like, ugh.
I know.
It's ended, and now you're just like, I need more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I need more.
All right.
Cliffhangers.
Any other thoughts before we move on to our special segments?
I just can't wait to see what happens next.
Right.
I'm excited.
So our special segments, we have, we'll do our Resist Sister and then our news.
Yes.
So we have a special segment called Resist Sister, which is pretty much like somebody who stood out in the community in some form of resistance. But this one's a little bit different because it's more of a win for all the sisters out there. Harvey Weinstein has been arrested, if you didn't know. Was taken away in handcuffs.
On Friday.
Yes. And then you had some more information on that, too.
Well, he had this just, like, gross smirk on his face. Just smack him. And he got out on bail, $1 million. His lawyers paid it immediately.
Which is nothing for him.
Yeah, of course. He's just like, whatever. But he is facing up to 25 years. So
let's
hope
see
that,
where it goes.
You know, even on good behavior, you know. And he's not a young man.
This is true.
It was a big win. You know, Rose McGowan was at, you know, the forefront of the Me Too and Time's Up movement. And I think that, you know, she said it's a big day for all these, you know, survivors and victims. And finally, at least seeing him in handcuffs, you know, at least maybe weakens his power a little bit. So.
And you said the first year this was reported was
2004.
So, you know, only took 14 years.
14
later.
Years.
But hey, it happened.
It did. And we hope that it will happen, you know, and the NYPD said that they are really, you know, thankful for the courageousness of these women who are coming forward, and I hope that encourages more to come forward. So,
If you ever have a Resistor of the Week that you're more you want us to focus on, please tweet at us, which we'll give those out at the end, or please leave comments down below too, because some of the stuff like we might not know about it. Yes. And then also we have some news, TV's at the top.
TV news.
So show creator of Handmaid's Tale, Bruce Miller, has told Vanity Fair that in a terrible way, he wanted to see if people would feel sympathy for a suicide bomber, because this is probably one of the only scenarios where you agree with what the suicide bomber is doing. Yep. He also pointed out that the attack was also costing lives of several of the handmaids, too, because not everybody got out alive, proving that just because you have a group supporting you, violence is still violence, and it hurts everyone, not just the people that you're aiming at. So,
yeah,
good to think about. Also, according to an Australian news outlet, birth rates have actually fallen 2% since 2016, proving that Serena's facts about fertility being on the decline are not totally false. They are saying that this decline is due to a lot of people's uncertainty of the future, including finding secure housing, reliable income, and, of course, healthcare, our favorite topic here in America. So
it's interesting you brought that up, too, because I remember hearing on NPR they were talking about it, and they're like, here in the States, I think it was 3%. So that was Australia's number?
Yes, it's Australia's.
So I think states, so it's 3%, but they're like, well, in this world of everything that's going on, people aren't as happy to like, yeah, let's bring children into the world.
So, exactly. So yeah. Sad, we'll but at least it's out. Not 61% decline as like, it is in Handmaid's Tale world. So, yes.
And there's plenty of babies out there, too, and like, it's one of those, we don't need to all be making babies. Gosh.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yes,
but it's true. Still interesting, too, the parallels of the real world to this. Yeah.
Scary.
I know, right?
It's
oh my goodness.
A little terrifying.
Yes. Well, that wraps up our episode of Handmaid's Tale, talking about episode 6, First Blood.
First Blood.
Thank you again so much for chiming in the chat. And if you're watching it later, we'd love to read your comments down below. You all have such insightful thoughts, and it's great to have you part of the discussion. And thank you, everybody. Yeah, everybody in the live chat. It's
very fun. Thank you, guys.
And, oh, the show is amazing. Where can they find you online?
Everybody can find me at LMPowers15 on Instagram and LeslyPowers15 on Twitter.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Please continue the discussion with us. I know quite a few have reached out. A few of you have reached out on Twitter before and thoughts on it. Love reading about that. Love the discussion going, because the show is like so hard to like encapsulate in one little hour. You're like, no, there's more.
Too hard.
We're just waiting. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye, guys. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.